But let me begin in verse 1 of chapter 18, the book of Revelation. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passions of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion of her in the cup she has mixed, for she glorified herself and lived in luxury. So give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who have committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed with fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls. For in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste. And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors, and all whose trade is on the sea stood far off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, 'Alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour she's been laid waste.' Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her." Then a mighty angel stood up, and a stone like a great millstone, and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more, and of craftsmen and of any craft will be found in you no more, and the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of a bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth." Well, this is the funeral of Babylon. It's a funeral dirge for Babylon. Now, what has happened in Revelation so far? We're in chapter 18. We went through the seven churches, and God had a message for those seven churches, seven different types of churches, to repent and to turn back to Him. We've gone through the judgments with the opening of the seals and the trumpets, and now we're in the bowls. These are the judgments of God. So we're looking forward to what God is going to do in judging the earth. And really, at the end of chapter 16, things came to a close. And last week, we looked at chapter 17, and we looked at religious Babylon. And today, we're looking at commercial Babylon. So it's like this. And we go to chapter 16, and the lights go out. But it's almost as if someone says, "Whoa, wait a minute. What happened?" And then God says, "Well, let me show you what happened back there in 16. Let me first show you what happened religiously. Now I'm going to show you what happens commercially. Next week, I'm going to show you what happens when the Lord Jesus comes. So now we're getting a microscopic view, if you would, looking down into chapter 16. What happened when all of this terror came upon the earth? Here, commercial Babylon is being dealt with. And as we discussed earlier, a lot of scholars think that this is a literal Babylon. As I mentioned also last week, some scholars think this is code language to Rome. That Paul's actually referring to it, that Babylon the Great is the city of Rome and the kings of Rome. I don't agree with that one, and we looked into that or talked about that last week. I think this is pointing towards the literal city of Babylon being revitalized in the area there that you see along the Euphrates River. And by this time, the allure of the economy and the religious situation, the whole system of living of Babylon will appeal worldwide. It will have worldwide influence, therefore worldwide judgment. Worldwide influence, and to use the words of Scripture, the world will be intoxicated, loving Babylon. We have been revived, and see the power of Babylon at that time. So here, Revelation 18, we're looking at the commercial aspect of the destruction of Babylon. Now, here's an important lesson for us that's not written in the text, but as we step back and we observe it, what comes first? God's judgment on the religious Babylon. Second comes God's judgment on the commercial Babylon. Everything is religious. The decision you made to this morning when you rose up out of bed was determined by what you thought of God. The things that you see, the things that you articulated about what you see in the news today is an outflowing of what people think about God. That's our business as a church, is to correct people's thinking about God so that they understand the gospel and see Jesus Christ for who He is. To sit back and complain about the world and not get involved with trying to change people's minds on what they think about God will do nothing. Because Scripture always, the Apostle Paul in his letters, he always deals with the spiritual, deals with the practical. Remember how I've said that before? He'll take three chapters in Ephesians, deal with the theological, three chapters that remain, and deal with how to practically live that out. Here we are in Revelation. God's judging the theological in chapter 17. Now He's going to deal with how that physically worked out. How did those people's thinking about God work out for them? Well, they had great success and joy and celebration in their Babylonian lifestyle. Boom! God comes and crushes that. So that's telling us something about the very character and the very nature of God. How we raise our children, what we think about our church, what we think about our job and the jobs we apply to, the schools that we attend, all flow out of our theology, what we understand about God. If we sit back and reflect on that, you'll see that in the world that we live in, you'll see that in your own life, my own life, the steps, the decisions I've made have ultimately been what I decided, how I viewed God. And for a portion of my life, as I've shared with you, I viewed God as being irrelevant. So I made decisions that I wish now, later in life, I wouldn't have made. But it was a direct outflow of what I thought about God. And so that's one of the great, big, beautiful pictures coming out of Revelation. What we think about God comes first. That's first priority in our families, in our churches, what we think about God is critical. Fuzzy thinking about God is a fuzzy thinking church. Accurate, deep thinking about God is an accurate, deep thinking, powerful, forceful church. And you're going to need a church, forceful church in the world we live in. You can't have these world events and have a milquetoast church. You just get train wrecked, rolled over in the world we live in. So anyway, here we go. Let's just walk down through the passage like we do each week. And I'll highlight some things I think would be maybe helpful for you. And then we'll look at how this might work out in our own life towards the end. So just real quickly, after this means there's a new vision that's coming. In verse 2, he called out with a mighty voice. That means a voice that no one can ignore. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great city. Now back in chapter 16, we heard these words, it is done. So now we're getting, again, as I say, another picture of what does it is done mean, now religiously and physically, we see it here. She comes from a dwelling place, has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit. We looked at that in previous chapters, how the cage or the pit, the bottomless pit was unleashed and these demons came out of there. That's what Babylon has become. Verse 3, for all the nations, all nations, all nations, all kinds of people have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. Now in context, sexual immorality is always bad, right? Just on the face of it. But we've looked in previous chapters how sexual immorality is employed in false religion, in cults. Even today, cultic practices embrace sexual immorality. So it's really more than what we just see on the face of it, that sexual immorality that probably is going on, widespread sexual immorality just on the face of it. But it's more like a devotion to the cultic religious practice. This is how they're living their life. So they've been intoxicated with this moral and religious idolatry. It says the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Great financial prosperity. If we're in the Babylonian system, if people embrace and they hold on to the Babylonian system, they will at that time have grown immensely wealthy. And that's what we see here, and there's parallels for today too. We don't have to transpose that too far out into this way. Verse 4, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Lest you take part in her sins. Lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped high as heaven. And God has remembered her iniquities. Come out of her. What is that? We'll talk a little bit more about I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few moments. Come out of her. That is a call to disentangle themselves from the Babylonian system. Come out of her, right there in the text. Come out of what you have. You're involved in this. It's the message to these people alive at that time. The message to them is, come out of that. You have gotten yourself entangled in there. Come out of that. Why? The text says, lest you take part in her sins, entanglement in the Babylonian Empire, a Babylonian system, brings sin. And those who are taking part of the sins, what will happen to them? Lest you take part in her plagues. So those who are entangled within that Babylonian system, one more call here for repentance. Remember how we looked at people are called to repentance, turn, step out of this, all through Revelation. That's one of the big messages of Revelation. Turn from this, step out of this. That doesn't mean be a recluse, go live as a monk in a cave somewhere, but turn to the things of God. Let God dominate our lives as we live in the world. Step out of this type of system. So this is a call. My people. See the words there? My people. Who's speaking? God. He's speaking to His people. Step out of this. I love you. Judgment is coming. For as sure as the sun rose this morning, judgment is coming. And God is pleading one more time, please come out of her. Or you share with her plagues. Now see, the character of God stays the same throughout Scripture. This is nothing new. If you have your Bibles and like to turn to 2 Corinthians real quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Just such a powerful passage. The Apostle Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the church in Corinth, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. God's character has not changed. As we look into Revelation at the end times, He says, come out. Do not be yoked there. That message hasn't changed. That's the character of God. We use that passage a lot in premarital counseling, for example, talking to couples, how are you yoked? Are you unequally yoked? Do you know what to anticipate in years forward to being unequally yoked? And we'll talk about that, but don't be unequally yoked. But that applies to business. That applies to lifestyle. That applies to borrowing money. That applies to a lot of places. Don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. You can expect grim things to be yoked that way. So what's the call? The call is to step out. Come out of that. God's character has never changed. Verse 6. The angel saying, pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion in her cup that she has mixed. And remember last week I talked about the cup, the golden cup that the prostitute had. Verse 7. As she glorified herself, lived in luxury, so give her a like measure. A like measure of torment. A like measure of mourning. Since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. Look at the three sins that she committed, Babylon did. She glorified herself. What's our mission? Our mission in life is to glorify Jesus. These people glorified themselves. What happens? You can expect the people today that spend a great deal of their time glorifying themselves are not making God smile, no matter how religious they make themselves look, because that's the character of God. He wants Himself glorified, because that's to our best interest when He is. But that's their first sin. They glorified themselves. What did they do? They pursued self-gratification. It says she lived in luxury. Self-gratification, just more of it, can never get enough. Got some today, need more next week, just more and more and self-gratification. Surely that's not too hard to imagine in Danville and San Ramon and Alamo and in the East Bay. Someone told me this week, and it wasn't too long ago, that Danville was the highest per capita income in the United States at some time in the past, maybe not today. That's not too hard to imagine, is it? Self-gratification? It's a lifestyle in the culture that we live in. And continues on saying that she lived in that luxury. And then she says in her heart, might not have said it outwardly, I sit as a queen. I'm no widow. And mourning, I'll never see. Self-sufficient. I sit as a queen. I determine my destiny. You don't determine my destiny. I determine. You know anybody like that? I've run across plenty in my time. I determine my destiny. You don't determine my destiny. I was one of them until God got a hold of me, broke my heart, and then restored it and mended it, and is still on the journey of mending my heart. Self-sufficiency in a nation where it's drilled into at a very young age, pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, to admit that you need God to help sustain you, is not very cool. That's her sins. That's what God's coming after. So we, how's that translate to our own hearts? We don't want to be wrapped up in those kinds of sins. That's a warning for us. That's the character of God. He despises that. He wants to care for us. What better faith could we have? He wants to care for us. Let's just let Him do it. The hardships that you face in the world, that you see in the world, let's just let Him fight the battles for us. Let's get on our knees in the meantime. Let's get our lives aligned with this one, because that's His business. Okay, here in verse 8, for this reason the plagues came, it says, and it's in a single day, that means immediate. Verse 11, and the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys or sells any cargo. And then, so here's this list of 28 items, the great wealth of the world, even today, great, enormous wealth of the world coming through these things. Just to make it very clear that there'll be no more commerce. That's why I said this is the commercial aspect. We looked at the religious aspect in 17. In 18, it's the commercial. All of this list of commodities destroyed. The fruit of which your soul longed, look where their priorities were. Their soul longed for it, has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The things that your soul longed for, that's why I plead with you to ask God to give you a longing in our soul, all of us, for Him. Because the world all around us is saying, we want you to long for me. We want you to long for my restaurant. I want you to long for my brand of automobile. I want you to long for my shoes or whatever it is in the world. I want you to long and thirst for, go on a quest for what I have to offer, the world says. And God says, yeah, those things that your soul longed for, yeah, those are going to be destroyed as well as those who are longing for that. The merchants of these wares who gained great wealth from her stand far off. Yeah, they're not so bold now, are they? They're standing far off. They don't want to be right there at the ground zero with this one. They're standing far off and looking at this. Okay, let's jump ahead. Verse 19. And they threw dust on their heads and they wept and they mourned and crying out, alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. The only reason that you and I have anything is because God's grace allows it. In a single hour, all of this opulence laid waste. That's never changed. The day that God wants to just eliminate it from our lives, He'll eliminate it. Some people have experienced that very physically. They have it one day, the next day they don't. An accident? God's always involved in everything. Everything is spiritual. Everything rises up out of the spiritual. So they had this, it's over in an instant. 1 hour, a single hour. Verse 20, rejoice over her, O heaven, you saints, apostles, and prophets, for God has given judgment. The long-awaited vindication that you and I asked for, the martyrs that we saw in chapter 6, they're pleading out, how long, God? And some of us today are saying, how long, God? Does this have to go on, right? You look in the world, and how long? The hour has come. Then a mighty angel took a millstone, and the millstone is just heavy and it's big and it's thrown into the sea. That means quickly plunged. Boom, it's over with. And then there's no artistic, there's no music, there's no work, there's no food preparation, there's no life. How about this? There's no falling in love. How about living in a world like that? No one falls in love. No bridegroom, no bride. It's over. The character of God has never changed. It says there in verse 23, for your merchants were the great ones of earth. Probably the ones with great influence and great power. And quickly again, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to James, James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And we see in James the character of God, chapter 5, verses 4 through 6. These merchants have, it says there in the last portion of it, they found blood of the prophets and the saints and slain. They've taken advantage is what they've done. Verse 5 of chapter 5, verse 4, "Behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvester have reached the ears of the Lord. You have lived on earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you." The righteous person. God does. God's heart hasn't changed. Exploitation of other people will be dealt with. Verse 24, "And in her was found the blood of the prophets and the saints. They've been murdered." Which brings us now to what I want to finish up with this morning, real quickly. Already mentioned, come out. It's a call for holiness. For me, as I read this passage this week anyway, that's the central verse of the passage for me. I love that. Come out of her, my people. It's a call for immersion into the things of God and stop immersing ourselves in the things of the world. Stop immersing ourselves in the things of people who hate God. And that's what we're doing, Christians. Immersing ourselves in the system of people who hate God. How do you read that message? Oh, it's just at the end times when we're no longer here, the church is raptured out of here. I think it's the character of God today. Quit immersing yourselves in the values of people who don't care a lick about Jesus Christ. Immerse yourself in the values of God's Word. That's the way to fight. That's not weakness, that's strength. Because it's very weak to turn away from Jesus and God's Word and get preoccupied with the things of the world. I think it's a call for us today. Step out of that. Immerse ourselves with the things of God. Live in joy and happiness. So how do we do that? Well, we guard our time. Just three practical ways. I was thinking about reflecting on our passage here. Just guard our time. Turn away from the things that distract us from the kingdom of God. Didn't Jesus say, "Seek first the kingdom of God"? That hasn't changed. Revelation 18 is not something new. Seek first. How did you do this week in your allotment of time for seeking the kingdom of God? Meditation, reading the Word, prayer. How did you? Not being judgmental, just asking the question. This is the priority of God. Set aside, guard your time because this is very, very important. Immersing ourselves in the values of God, not the values of the world. Secondly, guard our relationships. Be discerning about who you spend time with, and that doesn't just mean in person. It means who are you spending time with in your media? Who do you spend time with in your literature? Who are we spending time with? You know, I had a professor years ago. I always loved this. In fact, I still remember it. But he would call a textbook a conversation partner. What did you learn from your conversation partner this week? So when you read a book, it's like you have the teacher sitting there and it's a conversation partner with you. And one of the lessons I learned from that is that we can be very influenced by those we spend times with. If a person spends a whole lot of time reading Karl Marx, they'll be influenced by Karl Marx. If they spend a whole lot of time reading the Dalai Lama, they'll be influenced by the Dalai Lama. If they spend a whole lot of time on Facebook looking at all the gibberish, which is essentially just gossip, exalted today in the world we live in. It's just gossip. One people talking about the other people and what they did and put up a bunch of pictures over there. By the way, did you ask for permission to put those pictures out there? Can you imagine the character of God, what He thinks about all of that? Guard our relationships. Guard your purchases. Finally, those who remain in solidarity with the sinful society can expect to share its judgments. Where's that come from, Pastor? Look at verse 4 one more time. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. There's an urgency. There's no more time left. Lest you take part of her sins. When we're in the system, which we're dangerously treading, we're stepping around, we may take part in those sins. And then what's the consequence? Lest we share in those plagues. And we don't have to think too hard or too fast. It's not a great leap, right? I don't think it's a great leap out of verse chapter 18 to say, yeah, that's... If I'm just devoting myself to this system and what is there is sinful in the sight of God, I could kind of expect that God would judge me on that, right? He would... But I'm a Christian. I signed the commitment card. In fact, I got baptized. Well, yeah, but let's see, you're living your life as if none of that ever happened. You're just living as if you kind of just checked off the box along with the 12 other things that you're supposed to have as a good person in the world that we live in today. You check that, but your life is not different from anybody else. So we can see how it might not turn out as well as some people think it's going to turn out. To be careful in what we get wrapped up in. And so I love the 18th chapter of Revelation and the 17th chapter because I think it's so practical for today. Now, I hope you see these chapters in Revelation as a challenge and as something, an insight to God's character. And we don't read it and just discount it like, oh, that's future prophecy. It really doesn't apply today. What I'm trying to emphasize today, one of the things is the character of God. None of this that I've described, the character of God doesn't change. It's the same as in Genesis. If we were looking in Genesis, He would be saying the same thing. And isn't it beautiful? He allows us to look at that and study it and read it and say, you know what? I could change. I could change in that area. That would be real loving for a Father, our Father in heaven, to say, you know, I'm giving this to you today to change in this way.
Thank you for joining us in the Think Jesus Cafe. This is Mark Day. We hope today's message has been an encouragement to you, and we invite you to join us in spreading a passion to think like Jesus by asking your friends to subscribe to the podcast at thinkjesuscafe.com. We would love to pray for you. Please send your prayer request to info@thinkjesuscafe.com. If you are visiting San Francisco or if you are in the East Bay area, we invite you to join us Sunday for worship at Gate Tree Church. Service times and directions are online at gatetreechurch.org. Until next time, think Jesus and enjoy life.